The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you, as always, for listening to our little homemade, little homegrown podcast. We have some exciting news to share today. I want to let Michelle share it because she's like so gleeful about it.
I might scream. I don't know.
I'm pretty gleeful too, but yours is higher level glee.
It's just that I've had a lot of coffee and we just found out that yesterday brides.com of Brides Magazine featured us on one of the five best podcasts for brides to be. And we came in as the second one. And we are like, I'm like shaking. Like I'm ecstatic. Like, how did they not even tell us? Like, we would have missed it.
We would have missed it. We would have missed it. My cousin, who's getting married in a couple months, in 1 month, texted me this morning, like, hey, congratulations. This is so cool. And I was like, what? And then she sent the link. And then I sent the link to Michelle and we're really excited about it.
And I was like, I saw it and then you called me and then I was screaming. You like hung up on me while I was screaming, right? You're like, I gotta go. My computer's messing up.
Well, we gotta get to this point, which is now we're recording. So please go check out brides.com. You can probably just, they have a search on their website, right? So if you search podcast.
Best podcasts for brides to be.
Good job, Michelle.
Good job, Christy.
Woohoo!
Thank you, brides. Okay. Aaron Coletti.
See, they don't always call you when they write an article about you.
No, but
we should talk to somebody who knows about writing articles and stuff about that.
Like what? Yeah.
Like who do we know? Oh, our guest today. She knows a thing or two about that. We have a special guest today. She's actually here with me in my closet, so we don't have to do any three-way technical Skype situation, which always throws us a little bit, but then we get into it.
It's rusty at the beginning.
Yeah, this is a little bit easier, and I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you very much. This is Kim Daly, everyone, from Fitbit. Half of you that are listening probably have one of these little gadgets on your wrist right now. And Kim
or tucked away somewhere.
Yeah, Kim is also my cousin. I have so many cousins. And our cousin is the one who informed me today about the brides.com. But let me tell you a little bit about Kim, but welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Welcome, Kim.
Kim is Kim Daly is a certified health coach and the managing editor at Fitbit. And that's the company that pioneered the activity wearables category. In her 9-to-5 life, she leads a team of award-winning journalists and industry experts to produce healthy living articles that can be found on Fitbit.com. So if you wear Fitbit and you're on the website looking at all of the information they're giving you, Kim is the one who's
wrangling it all.
Circled the wagons on that.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here, you guys. I feel so honored to sit in Christy's closet.
In the closet.
Oh, man. And I've been out of town for 3 days and like I'm in my pajamas right now. It really has been like a whirlwind.
Is her suitcase in there somewhere, Kim? Is her suitcase this weekend?
You'll be proud of me. I got all the clothes out and put them in the laundry already, but the suitcases, I mean, I literally walked in an hour ago. The suitcase is in the bedroom.
You did? You just walked in? You just got off the plane?
No, I got off the plane last night at midnight, but then I slept at my parents' because that's where my kids were, and then we all came home this morning. So it's been a lot, but
wow.
But we're here. I'm clear. I'm ready to go.
We're here. We're clear.
And I'm so stoked that we have another like expert on. I love all of our guests, but somebody that's like, because we like to say like, what makes you an expert? And it's just cool that we get the opportunity to even talk to anybody that's considered an expert, right, Michelle?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So with Kim, it's not just writing and you're not mm-hmm. just working with writers, but you're actually educated and passionate and been on this fit sort of train for a while.
Yeah.
So when did that start, and what's a little bit about your background that led you to Fitbit?
Oh gosh. It's been a windy road, but I think it all started with college, where I majored in religious studies with a concentration in Eastern thought because I was really interested in meditation and mindfulness. And at the same time, I was really interested in media. So after graduation, I went up to New York and I got a job in women's magazines. I've worked at Good Housekeeping, Glamour, Fitness, and Shape, where I mostly covered beauty, and then realized I was really passionate about covering health topics and kind of helping people feel good about their bodies from the inside out. I was also really into running at the time. Still am. I love it. And I've run 3 marathons, I think 25 half marathons.
And you climbed a crazy mountain.
And I did. I climbed to Everest Base Camp. I did that as
what?
Well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So in the middle of all this activity, I also kind of realized, like, I was putting crap in my body. You know, I'd go on a 20-mile run on a Saturday and then stop in a bar and have a giant burger and french fries and a couple drinks with my friends. And it was a great time, but, you know, I wasn't getting faster. I didn't always feel so great. I was a little bit bloated. So I got really interested in nutrition. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided to take a course in integrative nutrition and become certified as a health coach, which then, you know, as life progressed, I moved across the country with a then boyfriend who's now my husband. So it all worked out.
It all worked out. It was touch and go for a second,
touch and go but,
it all worked
there,
out.
But it all worked
was
out.
Was he into this way of life as well?
Yeah. Like, yeah. He was a hardcore athlete. He was into triathlon. He was an assistant coach. And he competed in the half Ironman, made it to world champions 6 years in a row.
Whoa.
Wow.
World championships, yeah.
Now I just know him as a guy whose t-shirt sleeves fit very tightly around his shoulder and arm muscles, but I didn't realize there was so much history there.
He used to be thinner. Now he's really into pumping iron.
Yeah, he's bulking up now.
Yeah, yeah, he's a beefy guy.
So it started with essentially an interest in mindfulness.
Yeah.
And then with running and where your career was going with writing, eventually you were like, I have to focus more on this inside out health stuff.
Yes.
And that's kind of like Fitbit seems like a perfect.
Yeah. It ended up being.
Seems like a perfect, Fitbit.
A perfect marriage.
See what I did there?
Oh,
okay,
so
great.
Clever.
Great.
A
perfect
marriage. Look at you both. A perfect marriage, a perfect Fitbit. Love it. The dailies. The dailies, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so very good. We talk about mindfulness a lot on the podcast. I feel like we haven't done like an episode all about that, but in almost every episode, it's about like one of us mentions it because wedding planning has this very, I don't even know if it's like that true. It's more of a reputation. And then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that wedding planning is so stressful. It's almost like people expect it to be stressful and then want it to be stressful a little bit. So it fits in with the expectation.
They feel like they need to like, well, not they, some may feel as if they need to kind of be what society says it is, right? Like, oh, I'm so stressed out.
I'm so overwhelmed.
So much on my plate. I'm so worried about
I have a full-time job and I'm doing this other thing. I'm like the first person to ever do it. So
yeah.
It feels stressful. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was,
so you genuinely
kept thinking
felt
I was
that
forgetting
way.
Something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was my fear. Mm-hmm.
And Kim, so you've been married now, what, 3 or 4?
3.5 years.
Okay. So when Kim planned her wedding, we were both living in on the West Coast, but you were planning a wedding on the East Coast for various reasons. I think a lot of people do that. So with planning your own wedding, did you find you were kind of in a weird place then, too, like living in that apartment and like Mike was working all the time and you were still figuring it out? Like, did you find that you had to, because you're you are into this, you are healthy. I make fun of her because when we're like, bring a dish to a barbecue, and she'll bring like a kale salad with quinoa and like crunchy, something I've never heard of.
It's true.
It's true. She's that person.
I am that person.
Did you find
that's
that you...
That's great.
Did you find that
I'm
with...
I'm that person too.
Yes, totally. Did you find that with planning your wedding, you like gave yourself like an excuse to get off track, or you had to remind yourself like, okay, hey, keep it together, breathe?
No, I think it's just been something that I've done for so long that it's just a part of me and it's a part of my lifestyle. Like, I remember having a really funny conversation with my caterer. So we did a brunch buffet, and she had kind of given me two different menus to sort of pick from. And I had this really funny conversation. I thought it was awkward, but I was basically like, neither of these are healthy enough. I can't in good conscience serve this food to my guests. Like, in my mind, like serving them piles of
bacon.
white flour pancakes doused in maple syrup with bacon. I couldn't do it.
Wedding was not a free pass to eat crap for you or for anybody else.
No. And it's funny because some mini pastries did end up on the buffet table that I don't remember signing off on. Ugh. And that day when I saw them, I was like, where did these come from?
Well, Kim, did you look for a caterer that like specialized in like, you know,
healthy, organic
food, healthy? Like, what year did you get married?
Oh my gosh. Well, 20.
She doesn't remember.
13. I don't remember. This is terrible. I'm so bad with dates.
2014. But it was a small town.
2014. Small town. So, and I was doing
it. Wasn't like
everything.
The Bay Area where there was a dozen healthy, organic, locally sourced.
So it wasn't New York. It wasn't New York City. It wasn't Manhattan.
No,
it was like New York State.
It was Virginia, actually.
Oh.
Small town, Virginia.
Why did I think New York?
Just East Coast, I think we said.
Yeah.
Okay. East Coast, Virginia. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. So you were a little bit limited in your catering choices.
I was doing everything over the phone, and I'd actually had an experience at another wedding with this one caterer, and she had a delicious chicken dinner. So I thought, you know, if she can do this great chicken, then she could probably handle a brunch. So.
So did you like guide her? You're like, I need you to use almond flour and in those pancakes, and I need 100% dark maple like syrup from New Hampshire or Vermont.
We actually went savory instead of sweet. So we did ham and biscuits, and I went easy on the biscuits. I didn't go nuts. I didn't demand wheat flour or anything. And then we had an
buttermilk biscuits
omelet station, and some salads. And there was a potato salad, but it was not mayonnaise based.
Oh, I don't even remember thinking one way or the other about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And
were you there, Christy?
Yeah, I was there.
Did you like the food?
I remember who doesn't like brunch food? It was probably my first wedding to go to that was a morning. Wedding with a morning reception also. I've done morning ceremonies, but then they wait and do the reception much later in the day. But this was like, it was like morning. The ceremony started at 10. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we had brunch right afterwards. And I thought like a brunch, I mean, everybody likes brunch food.
Yeah.
And there was wedding cupcakes. And so
we
there
did
was still.
Cupcakes instead of a cake.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So there were some treats.
I don't remember it being like, oh, this is all stuff Kim would eat, healthy. and I give her a hard time because I do need to live and eat healthier than I do. So I think I project on Kim, like I roll my eyes, but really I'm like, I got to get some of that kale.
You're judging yourself as you really
are. Yeah, I am. I'm like putting it on her. Like, you're so crazy with your health food. And then I open my own fridge and I'm like, yeah, it's time. Yeah.
Okay. So I kind of wanted to say that, you know, this episode, Christy and I had talked about how common it is and how often women, a lot, and men
use their wedding date. I've had a lot of grooms lately.
A lot of grooms.
Very nervous about fitting into their tux. And
well, you're spending, like women are spending, I mean, on average, probably about $3,000 on a wedding gown.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And if a man has a suit made, you know, same thing.
And they're the photographer, and there's going to be more pictures of you on that day than the past 10 years combined. Yeah. And that you're spending a lot of money on, too. I mean, you're going to have friends and family that are seeing you for the first time in years, maybe. So there's a pressure to, like, look your best.
Yeah.
I don't ever love it. It doesn't ever feel great. And Michelle, you agree with me on this. Like, we don't ever want a bride to be like, oh, by the way, I'm going to lose 60 pounds before my wedding. So yeah, I don't even want to have my fitting, my dress fittings until I lose just this huge amount of weight. And it's like, oh, that's going to be hard. And we don't want that to be the focus. Yeah. Like, you're beautiful. You're getting married. You're in love. Like, it's the two of you that matters. So yes, be your best self, but don't go on some crazy, like, diet pill. I have to be a certain size. We didn't want this episode specifically to go down that road at all.
No, but I want to talk about it because it happens a lot, lot. And, you know, me personally, like, I did the same thing. I was like, I'm going to lose weight. Back then I lost 17 pounds. This is before I had kids, but I'd been heavy all my life. And so I was like, this is going to be it. Like, this is going to be it.
Yeah.
And I did like the whole no carb, the Atkins thing, right? Cause that was huge then. And I did, I lost 17 pounds. I felt fantastic. You know, I was like, yes. Was it the healthiest thing to do? Probably not, you know? And should I have used just that wedding day to do it? Because then I gained the weight back after, you know? And so I feel like there's a difference between going on a diet and losing weight for a specific time, right? Or like you do, Kim, and like I try to do, and that is live a healthy life, period.
And make choices forever. Every day that support that.
Yeah. So
I think you've raised actually two really great points. And something I've heard you guys talk about on your podcast before is that you got to keep your eye on the bigger prize. And the bigger prize is an amazing relationship, a long marriage with somebody that you love. And that's kind of how you have to look at getting fit and being healthy. You know, it's not about doing it until you reach an endpoint. It's about making it a habit, making it a lifestyle that you can stick to, that you can live with, because you love yourself so much and you want to be your best self every day and for the rest of your life and for your partner. But with that said,
it's a long game.
It's a long game for sure. But with that said, there's nothing wrong with taking that big event that's coming up, taking that wedding and making it a marker to kickstart your goal, you know, which is one of the things that when you set a goal, you need to make it a SMART goal. It needs to be specific. It needs to be measurable. It needs to be achievable. It needs to be realistic. And it needs to be time-oriented. Like, there's got to be an endpoint. So when you do make that mark in your lifetime, my wedding's coming up, it's 6 months away, that's a fantastic point for you to say, I'm going to get to this point in my health and fitness, and then I'm going to set a new goal.
Or like evaluate at that point.
Exactly.
And maybe congratulate yourself. And
absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah.
That is great advice.
And then move on from there with that.
Yep.
And set the next goal.
And then you set the next goal.
Yeah. So that is like, that makes sense to have them timely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, like, we talked about last episode about wedding, you know, the wedding hangover, like, after the wedding's over, something else to look forward to, something else to work on. So this is great. This is, like, one step in your overall, like, okay, now it's the wedding day and I've achieved this, so now I'm going for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's something you and your partner can do together, even better, you know? Maybe you both set that goal to look your best on the wedding day, but then you make a pact with each other to continue it after the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, like we said in the last episode about having a new project. If it's like, now we're going to take these ballroom dance classes, or we're going to start paddleboarding together every weekend because now we're married and we're not planning a wedding anymore. So we have
all this
extra time to be like
a
fun, fit couple. I wanted to ask also specifically about, well, two things, because we're talking about like staying active, but incorporate, and it's active, but also diet. And then the third component being meditation or mindfulness or yoga or something that connects you back, I guess, into yourself. So did you start on that journey with meditation or yoga or, I don't know, stretching or anything that is like a daily or weekly ritual? Did you do that personally? And then what do you think is a fairly easy way to ease into that if you're a bride who's never, you know?
Personally, while I was planning my wedding, I was definitely an anxious basket case. I was constantly worried that I was forgetting something, that the flowers wouldn't arrive, or I ordered the wrong napkins, or I even the night before my wedding, I was ironing tablecloths.
Because you're really like losing sleep over
convinced
this
stuff. That everyone would see the wrinkles in these tablecloths that I had shipped. So I think one of the biggest things is for you to just stop and give yourself a minute to breathe. One of the things that happens when you're stressed is your breath becomes very shallow and your heart rate increases. So what you can do is just stop. And even if it's just 2 minutes, just hold your diaphragm, take a few deep breaths, and get back to your center.
And that actually slows things down.
Yeah, it physically slows down your heart rate. It gets more blood and more oxygen into your blood circulating through your body. So it kind of just calms you down and gives you an opportunity. Literally, it gives you a moment, you know, and that opportunity to step back and say, hey, I'm not being chased by a bear right now. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. God, that also should apply to parenting. I need to like teach my kids to do
everything.
That, but I also need
everything.
To remember like,
yeah,
take
and
a
breathing
step back.
Is free. That's yeah. the cool thing about breathing. 2 minutes a day of deep breathing.
And do you have a morning like routine or ritual that you do every morning to start your day?
I don't. Not lately. I used to run every morning. My schedule's a little different now that I have a 2.5-year-old.
Oh, boy.
I squeeze things in as I can. So for me, it's just little moments throughout the day when I can find time.
Because you're
when
on
you
your
need
butt
in.
A lot in your office. So you're standing up and making sure that if you're on a call, you're moving around or I would assume like fitting some push-ups in there.
Yeah, there are little tricks you can find to squeeze movement into your day. You can walk around while you're on the phone. I love doing walking meetings with people and I'll tell them I'm not on my computer, but we can still have a great conversation and brainstorm and I'll walk outside and walk around the block.
Well, working at Fitbit, that should be like
a
given, right?
It's
like
part
everyone's
of
walking around.
It's part of the culture.
Let's count our steps.
Yeah. And then we actually have our products. Here comes the product plug. A number of our wrist-based trackers have reminders to move. So 10 minutes to the hour, you'll get a gentle vibration to remind you that you need to stand up and move around a little bit.
And that's like 20 jumping jacks.
It's 250 steps. It's a few jumping jacks. It's whatever, you know, feels good. Gets your body moving a little bit.
Just move. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did Fitbit like, because it was all of a sudden like this, boom, everybody had a Fitbit. And it's like, actually, my friends upstairs, they got a Fitbit for their kids for Christmas and they love it. Like Alistair will be like, I did 10,724 steps today. And I'm like, what?
You're like, I heard all of them because you're right above me.
I did actually heard a lot of them. But like, I just think it's, and that's actually, I should probably get my kids that this year. But I think it's such a great, like you said, just moving. So many of us sit all day at a desk or in a car or, you know, like even just like standing at your computer. So I bet you have a lot of great tips for people listening or not. On just like simple things, like you just said, like stop and breathe, right? When I'm teaching a yoga class, I'll show legs up in the air. And I know for me, like I'll tell people like, if you're stressed out, just put your butt against a wall and put your legs up in the air and lay flat on the floor. And it's a stress reliever for just 1 minute, even just 1 minute. And if your kids are around and they're like totally stressing you out and you go up against a wall and do that, you're going to freak them out and they're going to be like, what are you doing? And you're like, you drove me up the wall, right? So like, but it's a stress reliever. So I mean, like, what are some other things people can do that maybe they might, that are so simple that they might not even realize that they can do easily incorporate into their days?
Well, that's the beauty of Fitbit, is that we have such a simple message. It's all about the steps. It's all about walking. And what a lot of people don't know is, and research has been done around this, but when you walk, pressure on your foot sends impulses through your body that helps improve your circulation and gets more blood to your brain. So you end up feeling more, thinking more clearly, feeling happier, and you feel a lot less stressed just because of that simple activity of walking. It's that pressure on the bottom of your foot that's doing it. So I think just standing up and walking 250 steps an hour, make that your simple goal for the day, and then see what number you're at and see if you can beat it tomorrow.
And 250 steps really isn't that much.
No, it's really not. It's about 2 minutes of walking.
Yeah, that's easy to do. If you can't take 2 minutes,
yeah,
you can't.
It feels like you somehow can. Like if that's such a that is such a simple message that it's like a scope is on that. But when we back up, it's like somewhere along the lines, Americans or humans just went really wrong, and that's created like all of these physical issues we all have now with just the problems we're having and the kids being having problems earlier. And like, so somewhere along the lines, we just started sitting too much.
We created a world of convenience is what it is. Yep. You know?
Yep.
Everything's so easy to get. We don't have to stand up and get it ourselves. Can come to our door.
So Amazon. 250 steps an hour is great. Obviously you're getting on your feet and that's a physical part, but it's also great mentally. Mm-hmm. And when we are talking about if your wedding is 1 month away and you are like in the thick of it and you feel like you go to work all day and then you come home and you have checklists and spreadsheets and signatures and all the stuff that is needs your attention, continuing to like walk or move or lay with your feet up against a wall, like doing all that stuff even during that time helps mentally as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And emotionally, I would assume. Yeah.
And talking, Kim, about food and diet, how does stress or relieving stress help you to eat healthier? Or does it?
Oh, it absolutely helps. You know, you make better choices when you're mentally clear.
Are there some good recipes, like not recipes necessarily, but like adding little tricks, like adding this to your diet or pulling this one thing for a certain amount of time that you'll see some big differences, like the cloud is lifted.
Sure. I mean, a lot of people want that sort of
magic
2 week, drop 5 pounds, look good for the pictures, magic bullet. And it's possible, you can do it. The easiest thing to do is to cut back your calories. And I say that that's easy, but for a lot of people, it's so hard.
But you're saying like you choose where to cut.
You choose
like,
where to cut.
Sometimes I'll text Kim, like 2 weeks ago, I was like, I'm feeling just gross. And I don't know if I've gained any weight, but my clothes are fitting differently. And I just feel just yucky. And she texted back like a quick thing about I'm working, leave me alone. I'm just kidding. And she texted me like, you have to cut your calories and don't go crazy. Cause I do work out, but like cut your calories. That's going to be the easiest way. Maybe lose a pound a week, I think you said, and then you'll feel better, but don't any more than that is going to be unhealthy.
It could be too drastic and it's not something that's sustainable.
Yes. And it wasn't really about the number. It just was like, why do I feel like this? But then she texted, the next text was like, by the way, one glass of wine, cut that out. And that would be cutting your calories for the day. And I was like, wait,
after she finished flipping her finger at the phone,
I'd rather not have.
I know. Well, it's interesting you bring up alcohol because it is kind of a double-edged sword when it comes to being healthy. You know, there are so many studies that say, especially red wine, is good for you. It's great for your cardiovascular health. But those benefits actually stop after 5 ounces. So how many of us actually measure out 5 ounces?
You do, huh?
Even I don't. The other bad thing about wine, if you've ever looked at the bottle, there's no calorie count.
I know.
And
they do that on purpose.
Ladies, I have it on good authority that a glass of red wine could be anywhere from 100 to 200 calories. That's for one serving, 5 ounces.
Mm-hmm. So that's a snack.
If you're over pouring, which most of us are, and then if you're having a second glass, which most of us do,
because she's like hiding,
you might as well have an ice cream sundae.
Yeah. Well, I'll just skip breakfast instead. She's gonna like
actually.
Kim's like, damn it, Christy.
Studies show starting your day with a healthy breakfast sets you up for eating success.
See, that's what I'm. This is what I'm up against, people. This is why I wanted to share her with everyone. So I feel like I'm not just taking all the wisdom myself.
Okay, so this is the one scenario, and I know this because I've done this. You have a really long day, right? You're like you're working. You met with 2 caterers, or you did your cake tasting. And you're also just exhausted. You went to the gym. And then when you get home, you have to, like, finish up some report. And then you needed to do some research on, bartending service because your caterer, it doesn't have a license. So when you get home and you see your love and you give kisses and you're like, you want a glass of wine? Okay, yeah, let's have, okay, do you, or maybe in our case, it's, you know, a little whiskey because that's less calories than wine.
Is it?
I'm gonna plug my favorite website here, getdrunknotfat.com, people. Get drunk, not
I'll
fat.
I'll put that in the show notes.
It's a real
you
thing.
You still have to watch
put
the
show notes
of those whiskeys.
Yes, yeah, that's
1 ounce. 1 ounce is one serving.
No, 2 ounces. 2 ounces is one serving. I checked. But anyway, Kim, because that's what like binging time happens with food. Mm-hmm. You're home, you guys love each other, you're spending time, but you're both on your computers, you're hungry, you're snacking. Throw out some healthy snacks that you would go to, or would you not? You probably wouldn't snack,
but
would you?
Don't
Kim?
Say. Almonds, unsalted,
oh, damn
raw
it.
Almonds.
That was my go-to.
No, it wasn't.
Those are good, Kim. No, Christy, they're good.
It's just the go one ahead. Thing. Like almonds. Like who wants almonds at the end of a really long day?
But they're so good for you. They're full of fiber, healthy fat. And you guys, your body doesn't actually absorb all the calories from an almond. A lot of them come back out. That's what makes it a diet.
What do you mean?
Food.
That doesn't happen with Big Macs?
Why do they come back out? That just, Christy.
I'm just wondering, how can they stay in there? How can they stay in your body?
How do Big Macs stay in your body?
No, how does...
I'm curious about this because almonds are like my go-to. I roast them in my oven. How does the calories... What do you mean they come out? Why do you not absorb all the calories of almonds?
Your body just can't absorb them all. In the form that they're in, your digestive system uses what it can use and then kind of passes the rest.
But what it can use is all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. Yeah. Because they're unprocessed, they're a little bit more difficult for your body to digest. And that's why whole foods are so important.
Yeah.
So you could have 20 almonds instead of 10?
I'm not sure what the math is, but probably.
Let's go with that. You can have 20 almonds instead of 3 fudgesicles.
And then you could dip them in like chocolate, dark chocolate. No, you can't. Okay, sorry. What else? I'm sorry. I'm hungry. I haven't eaten breakfast. Uh
oh. Oh no! Don't tell me that.
I do intermittent fasting. So
oh, okay.
That's a whole.
So you're still within your okay.
Yeah. What other snacks?
So veggies with hummus.
I do like hummus.
It's a great option. Mm-hmm. I think. People forget that you can eat vegetables for snack. When was the last time you opened a bag of spinach and ate it like a bag of chips? Probably never, but you could.
No.
You could. Do you?
Makes my teeth gritty. Sugar snap peas, though. I love to eat sugar snap peas.
Those
They're
are great.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially if you had a workout, you'd want to throw in some protein. So definitely have those sugar snap peas with hummus or maybe some cottage cheese.
So you eat dairy.
Yes,
you're a dairy
I do.
Girl.
I do.
Should we eat, because I've read both sides of this, so I'm going to take you as the authority.
Oh, gosh.
Like, I work out at night because that's when Joey has karate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just at the gym already. I'm at the rec center. It's like an hour of my time, but it's from 6:30 to 7:30. So it's very much like he eats dinner before, but I don't want to eat dinner and then go work out. But I can switch that around if you tell me I should eat a healthy dinner before I work out. Or would I be better served to eat my healthy dinner after I work out?
I would actually break up that meal and have half of that healthy dinner before you work out and the other half after you work out.
I actually did that last week because I made a chicken breast and I was hungry and I did cut it in half and save half for after. Yeah. I just don't ever want to work out like feeling
super full.
Yeah. And like I want to take a nap.
Yeah.
Well, you should also eat some carbs before you work out, right, Kim? I mean, that's what I've heard.
It depends on your goals.
Ah.
And it depends on the last time you ate. So you want to go into the workout fueled and have enough fuel in the tank to get you through and get you to push harder. But you also don't want to overeat and gain back those calories that you're burning off before you even burn them.
So in a perfect world, what would be a perfect meal for me to eat right before I work out?
I mean, it's so dependent on
your work,
your personal health goals, your workout,
and what else I ate
your
that day.
What your stomach can handle.
Yeah, but probably it's not lasagna.
No.
Yeah. All right.
So circling back to our listeners that are out there getting married, or even people who are wedding vendors and are crazy busy during wedding season and on the go, like overall, what would you say is like a good way to either keep maintaining because that might change, lose a little bit of weight before your wedding?
Jumpstart things, like you said.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's going
to
be...
Other than buy a Fitbit. Other than buy a Fitbit to track your
That's
progress.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give advice that everybody gives, and I'm going to say put it on your calendar. You know, make it part of your day and make it an appointment that you can't cancel. And if that means you've got to buddy up and have somebody at the gym or on the corner waiting for you to start that walk, then do it, because that will hold you accountable.
Back to Fitbit, though, do you feel like, I don't know, have people given you the feedback that having a Fitbit is a way to stay accountable?
Actually, it's great. I'm wearing one now, so I'm looking at it. What's great about it is it allows you to set daily goals, and you can glance down at it constantly and see, like, I mean, I'm only at 1,000 steps, and it's 11 a.m., so clearly I have not done anything today.
And you set.
You are so lazy, Kim.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. So I'm going to have to make up for that later. But
hey, Kim, I wanted to throw out that I have the Aria scale.
Oh, yeah.
The Fitbit. Is that how you pronounce it? Aria?
Yep, Aria.
And I totally recommend that to anybody out there. I bought mine on Amazon, and my husband and I love that. And you can set up your profile, and it can talk to your Fitbit. And then there's an app online, and it gives you your exact weight. It has a profile. When you step on it, it's like, oh, I know this is Michelle.
Oh, it's like a smart scale.
Yeah, it's a smart
scale. Yeah, here's your body fat percentage. You know, and I love that. And I think that's another way to help track.
You can get me that for Christmas.
And then you could go online and see, like, oh, 3 weeks ago I was here and I went up that day. And I always see, like, Monday morning, I'm always at my highest weight. because Saturday and Sunday were super fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to throw that in because that's your product. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's the great thing about Fitbit. We're collecting all of this data that you're tracking every day and putting it into easy to read charts and graphs for you so you can see patterns. You know, and we also offer a food log on the app, on the Fitbit app, and you just log your food for a week and you'll start to notice where you can cut back calories very easily. You know, maybe you don't need the cheese and the mayonnaise on your sandwich.
Oh yeah, little things.
Little things.
Because it is so personal.
Yeah,
so keeping what your food journal is going to be so different than anyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a sleep
tracker
feature, whatever?
Many of the wrist-based trackers automatically track your sleep so you can wear it at night.
Because that's a big deal with wedding planning too, is that you're
not getting enough sleep
and then
you're
grumpy.
You have a lot of nightmares.
Yeah, and you might be arguing more because you're both tired and...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's with wedding planning, and especially in that month before when all the family stuff starts to happen and the travel plans, and I always notice that's when my brides and grooms get, if they're going to be snippy, that's when it's that last month right before. So getting a good night's sleep.
Sleep is hugely important because it actually helps balance out your hormones, which affects everything. It affects your mood. It affects weight loss and weight gain. It affects cravings even. You know, people who are lacking sleep tend to make really poor food decisions because their brain just isn't wired to want something healthy.
That makes sense. Yeah. Not just that you're too tired to cook something healthy, but you don't want to taste it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got
breathing,
sleep, cut back calories, move. And also you were, when I interrupted you, you had a really good tip, and that is to put it on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
What your workout, what you're eating, or what?
30 minutes a day, move. Just put that on your calendar. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that will get you up and moving, do it. If that's yoga, if that's walking.
Racquetball.
With
your husband. We're playing racquetball now.
You're playing racquetball?
Oh, you are?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, really fun and funny random. And silly, but it's
that's
fun.
Cool.
And it's like an hour of moving, and it is, we're having fun as a couple.
Good. Do you play doubles?
No, just like
the
us.
Two of you?
Yeah. Lance is, good at it, and I'm like a clown running around, but... It's a new thing that I was excited to find a new physical thing that we can do together instead of us both splitting up at the gym and doing our own thing, which is also nice. But
that's a great tip for your couples out there.
Yeah. I think if you have the time blocked out and you consider it an appointment, like you said, you're not going to miss this. Just like you're not going to miss your cake tasting or your DJ appointment or your phone call with whoever about whatever. So considering it we're going to do this or I'm going to do this for a half an hour, that's a really good way to look at it.
And making it fun and exciting. Like, who knew?
Yeah, if it can be together, even better.
That's so cool.
Together can be better sometimes. Although right now, I think we would definitely work out separately because it has been a rough week in marriage land, everybody. It has been rough. So racquetball right now would probably be a poor choice.
Well, you might hit him on the head with the racket.
The ball and the rackets and the walls could
wear
all
goggles.
Be. Yeah. Yeah.
Balls to the walls.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Very good. Well, this was good. That's a lot of information. I feel like when we're talking about sleep, eat, breathe, we're actually teaching you all just how to be a human. this is just what it takes.
But we forget because stress confuses us, stress throws us off.
Yeah, and the hormone part that you mentioned, I've been reading and listening actually to a podcast about that, how hormones just control everything, and everything we do throughout our day contributes to good hormone levels and most often bad hormone levels, right? And we don't even realize this.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, did we cover everything you wanted to cover, Kim?
Yeah, I think so. I feel good. Do you guys feel good?
I feel great.
Yeah, I think we got it all. We wanted to talk about just being healthy in general, but then specifically about how it can pertain to this time of your life, which is why you're listening to this podcast to begin with. So hopefully that was where we went with it, because it's not just about shedding pounds and dress sizes. It's more than that. Look, see the bigger picture, like
we said.
Feeling
good from the inside out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you start this healthy regimen during the time of planning your wedding, it's going to help your stress level, your communication with your partner. And don't make it just be a wedding diet. Just, it's overall.
It's a diet you
living.
Started or something you started before the wedding that you can continue afterwards. And we know it's challenging. We know it's a challenging time. So go easy on yourself, everyone. This is the best way to love yourself, right? So just be selfish a little bit. Focus on yourself, your actual body.
And Kim, you said there was an app with Fitbit that people can use to track their eating and their fitness. What is that?
It's just the Fitbit app. You can find it in any app store. And it's free to download. So anyone can use it. If you have a smartphone, you can actually connect your smartphone and use that to count your steps. So you don't even need to purchase a Fitbit tracker. Of course, we would love for you to purchase one, but
yeah,
especially to get started and see if this is something
something you like.
And that scale, I really highly recommend the Aria scale along with the Fitbit, both or one or the other. I love my scale. We both do. Yeah.
So we'll put all of that on the website on our show notes with links as well.
Yeah. So thank you, Kim.
Thank you,
Kimberly Daly. And thank you, Fitbit. And how can people find you if they need to, see what you're writing about?
They can find tons of amazing healthy living advice and tips on Fitbit.com. And if they want to reach me personally, editor@Fitbit.com is how to email me.
And Facebook and Twitter, Fitbit's all over.
Fitbit's all over.
All of that. Okay. Cool. Fitbit, then that's Fitbit, what Fitbit. We'll do some linking and shouting out. And if you have any questions, I see Kim every week, several times usually. So you can shoot us your questions for Kim. As always, you can shoot us questions anytime. We're on Twitter at TBWPpodcast. And our email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. But I will certainly be able to forward questions on, and then we can respond if there's anything in Kim's expertise here that she can help with.
Yes. Thank you all so much for listening. We love you guys. Happy planning. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.